You are listening to Faith Church's sermon from this week. We are a church that is committed to loving Jesus for life and loving others to life. We hope that this message encourages you to follow Jesus with your whole heart.
We need to work on in 2020. Don't worry. It's not going to be an in-your-face series, seriously. Friends, I've taken the last week to do some real soul searching while we were on vacation in my ministry and my life. I am done trying to wrestle people into ministry. That's the Holy Spirit's job, and He's good at it. It causes me frustration and anxiety, and that's not healthy. I still will be pushing forward into the new year with a passion to set our journey as Faith Church on a solid ground into the future. It'll be teamwork that'll be needed. I'm prayerfully optimistic that 2020 will be a good year here at Faith Church. That statement has nothing to do with anything other than making disciples of Christ and reaching people for Christ. One of the things that I have noticed that we all, including me, again, including me, struggle with is consistency. The picture on the screen right now shows us what happens many times. The straight arrow is following Christ, making a choice to do what He is asking us to do. Many of us, again, including me, turn off way before we should because of various reasons that needs to be reevaluated in 2020. I have had people quit things because they aren't big or bountiful right off the start. That needs to stop, friends. We need to be consistent with what we have and leave numbers and such in God's very capable hands. I have also had people say, we have to have this and this ministry in order to grow our church. I'm not sure we have to have them. Recently, in a conversation with another EC pastor, it was said to me, you know, Brett, he uses Brett. He doesn't call me Pastor Brett. Yeah, Brett, I've seen what you've got going on Sunday morning. What if you put all of your eggs into the basket instead of being so worried about any other programming? This was a confirmation of something I was already feeling in my heart. Here's something C.S. Lewis once said. It's at the top of your sermon outline, which I believe is the orange sheet in your bulletin. If it's not, you'll find, yes, it is. Here's what it says. Relying on God has to start over, all over, every day, as if nothing has yet been done. See, sometimes I think we get into this role of things. I've been a Christian for over 30 years. And so sometimes we get this feeling that I'm just on autopilot. A Christian is what I am, and I follow God in all that I do, and that may or may not be true. See, what C.S. Lewis is saying is every morning when we awake, and maybe even every night when we go to bed, we need to sit back and say, am I truthfully following Christ? Not how the evangelical congregational church has defined following Christ. Not how Pastor Brett has defined following Christ. Not how some of the biggest speakers in the world on TV have defined following Christ. But have I been following Christ according to the Word of God and what it says to me and to us about following the Lord? Have I been doing it? Have I been following Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, which says every morning, basically, we put ourselves on the altar rail and we say, here I am, Lord, as a living sacrifice to you. That's just one. Maybe it's where Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus looks at the crowd and says, if you love me, you will obey me. There's another way we follow him. Do we do that? Last, I want you to know this, and then we'll get into the meat of the sermon. And I believe this because the last time I checked, it's not good to lie from the pulpit. I believe that everyone in this room today, and yes, even those missing, are who God has chosen to reach this area with the gospel of Christ. But above that, I also believe we all need to get out of our own ways and stop making it about ourselves and watching what God will do. But this all begins with consistency. And I think the true story in Daniel chapter 6 is a story of Daniel's consistency. And we can learn a lot from it. So let's dig in together. Let's get this new year off to an awesome start by looking at our consistency through Daniel's story. Now, for those who may not be up on Bible reading or whatever, in Daniel chapter 6, this is what's going on. I'm going to give you the overview, and then we're going to read about it as we go through the 5 points that I have for this morning. Here's the overview of what's happening in Daniel 6. Daniel is climbing the political ladder very quickly. He's becoming a leader in the nation, and things are looking good. However, with that things looking good, there are those who are a little jealous of Daniel's climbing to political strength. And they are trying to find something to catch Daniel in. And so they start to look at his life, and we're going to talk about this in just a second. But they start to look at his life, and they can't find anything in his life where Daniel maybe wrote a check that he shouldn't have, did something to someone that he shouldn't have. And so they go after his God. And what they say is they go to the king, and they make up this story, and they say, King, if you will pass this decree, if you'll pass this decree that only people, the only people that can pray to you, Darius. And you got to pass it so it doesn't get changed over. And so Daniel, the king agrees with these people, and so they go to Daniel's room, and they find Daniel doing what Daniel always does. His windows are open, and he's kneeling, and he's praying to his God. And so, of course, these guys being the upstanding citizens they are, they run to the king and say, Daniel's not praying to you. The king, understanding that God is in Daniel and in being compassionate towards that, is brokenhearted. We're going to read about that probably next week. He's brokenhearted so much so that he struggles all night long, doesn't get an ounce of sleep because he knows what has to happen, and it happens before that night, and he puts Daniel in the lion's den to kill him. Because he prayed to his God and not Darius. We know the story if we've been around Sunday school class for our younger years, but Daniel doesn't find lions that are hungry. He finds lions that are pillows. And he lays down among them. And I find it interesting that Daniel had a better night's sleep that night than King Darius did. The one who put him there. So Daniel comes out, celebration begins. We'll talk about the rest in just a little while. However, I believe it is because Daniel is consistent in his relationship with God, and I've never seen this before. This just came to me this couple weeks ago as I was on vacation. Yes, I think about sermons when I'm on vacation. I have no life. I'm sitting there at a restaurant, and I'm thinking, Daniel 6, consistency. This is a good one. And so here's what the first point is. Consistency happens in private. Consistency happens in private. Let's look at verses 1 through 3 here, and we're going to shoot some of that up on the screen here. Here's what it says. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them, three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account, so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all other high officials and the satraps. Listen to these next words. Because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set over him the whole kingdom. I want you to catch that. I want you, if you can, in your sermon outline or in your Bible, that part of verse 3, underline it or highlight it. Because an excellent spirit was in him. There was something that Daniel did in his private time, in his devotional time, if you would, that led people to understand that there was an excellent spirit within him. It was done in private. It wasn't done so that everybody could see. It was done in his own room, in his own house, so that he could have time with his God. So naturally, I step back from this passage and ask myself this question: does what I do in private show up in public? In other words, does my devotion life actually impact my public life? Does my Bible reading and my Bible study actually impact the decisions I make with my kids and my wife? And I'd ask you to step back and do the same. Does your Bible reading impact how you mother or father your children or grandchildren? Or does it impact how you treat your husband or your wife or your coworkers? You see, Daniel was consistent, and we're going to find out how consistent he was in a little while. But he was consistent in this private time of always going and always praying. And some will say that he was consistent because that's what they called for back in that day. No, I believe there's more to it. Daniel wasn't consistent because of his religiosity. He was consistent because of his relationship with God. And we ought to be too. You're not consistent because you've been a member or not a member or attended here for years or because you've always grown up in the church. You're not consistent because of that. You're consistent when a relationship with God becomes above all else. So maybe if you're missing on consistency, this is the place to start. Why is it that I even have a desire to be consistent? And if that desire is around those in this room or this bigger building or anything other than the fact that you have a desire to get to know God, you're not going to be consistent. You're not. Daniel shows us that. Number two here, godly consistency leads to integrity and points others to God, not you. Again, let me read that again. Godly consistency leads to integrity and points others to God, not you. Now, verse 4 is up on the screen right now, and it's also there for you in your sermon outline. Here's what it says. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him. I want to just time out there. They wanted to find something in this kingdom of Darius, in this kingdom of the king. They wanted to find something that where he didn't quite cross the T, where he didn't quite dot the I, where he didn't quite remain faithful to morals questions. They wanted to find anything they could. They looked with a fine-tooth comb, and they combed through his documents, I'm sure. They combed through his life. They looked at everything they could look at and listened to the words again. Not one thing was found. No grounds for complaint or any fault. Because he was faithful. And no error or fault was found in him. See, godly consistency leads to integrity. If you're consistently in with God and consistently in a relationship with him and working on your devotional life and continually to grow and continually to be a disciple of his, it's going to lead to integrity. You're not going to want to do things that break his heart. You're not going to want to do things that keep you from following him with all of your heart, soul, and mind. But then we flip to verse 5, and here's what it says. And these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel, unless we find it in connection with the law of his God. Oh, for that to be said about me and you. We're not going to find any complaints unless we go after the God they serve. And Daniel, it's said about him, and what the men are saying here is that it's pointing towards his God. Daniel doesn't lead an integrity life so that he climbs the political power. He gets the political power because he's followed God. Now, I'm not saying that following God is a must to get political power. That's not the goal. Daniel's goal was not to go climb the political ladder. It was to glorify God. And it just so happens that because he was glorifying God, he climbed the political ladder and he became this well-known person in his nation. But I want you to notice something. He doesn't do it so that people remember Daniel. He does it so people would see God. And these men who are out to trap him, who are not up to good, who are not godly men, who are not people who are living for God, they get it. And he does the very thing he wants to do to them. He points them to God. They said, look, we've looked at his entire life. There's nothing we can do. Unless we make a law that goes directly against his God's law, that's the only way we can trap him. And so in essence, what Daniel did was he put their eyes on God by living an integrity-filled life, not on Daniel. Only way to find anything is in connection with his God. Next, your consistency will be challenged. Your consistency will be challenged. Let's start with verse 6. Then these high officials and satraps come by agreement to the king and said to him, O King Darius, live forever. Now I want to time out there. This is so full of sugar that we can miss it sometimes. These guys really don't worship the king like they're saying it. And so it'd be like me and my kids, and I'm not going to pick on Freddie because he's up here today. So I'll pick on Serenity, who can hear me down there, and we'll not say anything because she can't right now. And so it'd be like Serenity coming into the room, and she wants this big Barbie car that she can drive out in the backyard. And she starts the conversation by saying, Dad, you are the greatest dad to ever live. I tell you, every person who is a daughter should worship you. She doesn't really mean that. Just yesterday, I wasn't her friend because I told her no. And I said, well, I may not be your friend, but I'm still your dad and I still love you, so that's okay with me. But the reality is that's what these guys are doing. Oh, King, live forever. Well, now you got my attention. Talk to me. Tell me what's going on. And so they get together, they're in agreement, and Daniel's actions caught their attention, and they came by agreement with each other to set him up. And they start with this little, I call, kiss-up to the king. Oh, King, live forever. Now, listen to what we have to say. Verse 7. All the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps and the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, some commentaries will point you to this. Do you hear anything else about any other people but these guys talking about this in the scriptures? No. So were they stretching the truth when they said, and I quote, all high officials of the kingdom, all the counselors and all the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction? I don't know. It's an interesting point, but I bring it to your attention. Here's what verse 8 says. Now, O king, establish the injunction and the sign, the document, so that it cannot be changed according to the law of Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. Again, if you're consistent with God, it will bring troubles. I've heard it in churches. Why is it that that person does this and I don't get to do this? Same thing was going on in Daniel's time. Why is it that Daniel gets to do this and we don't get to do that? So this gentleman asked him to not change it. And what's going on there is there's this document that is signed and by the Medes and Persians. Wow, this is a tongue twister. But what happens is that the king would wear a ring, all right? And so when he signed a document, he would kind of give the document a stamp. And that would say that this document cannot be changed no matter what. I'm going to move this before I trip and fall. Cannot be changed at all, ever. Now, these guys are not dumb. They look at the king and they say, listen, here's what we want you to do. We want you to write this decree. And by the way, king, everybody else in this entire nation agrees with us. And so we want you to write this decree, but we don't just want you to write the decree. We want you to do it in Medes and Persians. We want you to put your signature on it. We want you to put your ring on it. We want you to do all that so that it cannot be changed no matter what anybody says. Again, being consistent will bring its challenges. But here's the good news. Next point. Godly consistency is not changed by outside pressure. I love verse 10. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. You see, godly consistency isn't marked by outside pressures. It isn't changed by outside pressures, but it is in today's kingdom. See, what Daniel faced was, listen, he knew the document was signed. He knew that if he goes back to his house and does as he previously did, he's going to end up in the lion's den. He's going to be lion's meat. He did not know the end of the story like you and I know today. He trusted that that may not happen, but he doesn't know what's going to take place. And so Daniel goes into this, he knows what happened, he knows they have this document signed, and what does he do? He changes all of his behavior, he doesn't go to church anymore, he doesn't follow God anymore, no! He continues to do what he's done. I love the closing words of that passage, as he had done previously. In other words, the pressure to not be consistent didn't have any effect on his consistency. But it does on ours. Doesn't it? I mean, we don't want to hear it. We certainly don't want our pastor preaching on it. But it's true. Oh, I stubbed my toe. I can't make Bible study tonight. Oh, it's this. I can't do this. Me too. It's consistency. Outside pressure comes in and we give up consistency. Outside pressure comes in that, you know what, my schedule's filling up. I don't have time for the things of God. So I'll just cancel the things of God and I'll go and do whatever I want to do. And outside pressure wins. But with Daniel, it didn't. And I'm not saying this to be angry or to be frustrated. I'm just saying, look, it's happening everywhere. Outside pressure is winning everywhere. And then we wonder why, when we go up to do something and we try to make a statement and we try to make a change in our culture, we don't have a voice. We're not consistent. The world looks at us and says, first time you hit waters, you're going to jump ship. I've been very vocal about the fact that one of the things that has frustrated me in years of ministry is that when the people actually need the church, they go far from the church. I don't understand that thinking, and I'm trying to, but I pray for them. And that's exactly the point here with Daniel. Daniel has this outside pressure. He knows the document is signed. He knows his life is on the line. And he goes and does it anyway. And he knows, he's got to know. I mean, you know, there's a lot of thought into this, and so we got to be careful that we don't take too much here. But he's got to know that these guys are going to be watching him. And he knows what's coming. He chooses to do it. And here's what I thought when I got down to the nitty-gritty as I studied this scripture passage and I sat in my office and sat back in my chair. I said, the things that sidewall me, the outside pressures that sidewall me, aren't even life-threatening. They're usually about personal preference. My outside pressure isn't somebody saying, listen, pastor, you get up and preach that sermon and you will be going to jail. That could be coming. And you say, oh, that, come on, pastor. Listen, there are things that are happening now that when I was in Bible college were far from our thoughts. The day is coming when this choice will be a choice of life and your freedom will be gone. It's coming. Outside pressure. But it's not here yet. But if I give in to the non-life-threatening ones, what am I going to do when it's serious? And so Daniel has this decree, knows it's been written. He goes back to his room. He opens his windows towards Jerusalem. That's, again, the religiosity of it all. And he gets down on his knees, and three times a day, not just once. I mean, he doesn't do it once and say, Lord, this is the last time I can do it because they made this decree, and I need to stop doing this. He does it three times a day, as he had done previously. Here's the last one, the last point of this morning's message, and then we will continue it next week. Godly consistency is noticeable and known by others without much speaking. Here's what it says. These men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. What does that tell you about these men? Don't answer that quite yet. But in your head, think about this. These men, these rulers that were jealous of a godly man who was doing a godly work, and they were looking for ways to trap him, knew one thing about him. They knew that petition wasn't going to change his actions one bit. Do my friends know the same? Does my family know the same? Do your friends know the same? Does your family know the same? See, here's the point of it all. It was noticeable. And Daniel didn't have to say a word. Notice Daniel's not talking a whole lot in this whole process. He's kind of just letting things go, and maybe some of this was done behind his back, and so that's why we don't hear from him a whole lot. But he knows it happened. It's clear in the last passage in verse 10 that he knows it happened. And now here he is, and these men come by agreement and found Daniel making petitions and plea before his God. They already knew it was going to happen. Because why? Because they knew Daniel was consistent. They knew Daniel wasn't going to skip it just because they signed some petition that put his life on the line. I wonder sometimes, how consistent am I? Is it noticeable to my friends and my family, to my church family? Is it noticeable to other people? Not because I want people to put their eyes on me, but because I want God to get the glory, and that's going to happen in just a second here. In verse 12, then they came near and said before the king, concerning the injunction, O King David, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days except to you? Now listen, they knew the answer to this question. O king shall be cast into the den of lions. The king answered and said, The thing stands fast according to the laws of Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked. Then they answered and said before the king, well, guess what? Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. Where we pick up next week is where the king is wrestling with this now. And the king spends some time, and the commentaries are uncertain of how long the time was, but he spends some time trying to figure out how he can overturn this decree. Because now he's frustrated. Now they've trapped him. Now he's signed this decree. And now all of a sudden there is no out. And now he has to take one of the persons that he was going to put in charge of the entire kingdom, and he has to put him in the lion's den. And the king's not sure he's going to come out alive. And so the king begins to try to ruffle through papers and figure out, how do I overturn this? We're going to find out that he can't. But this is all because of Daniel's consistency. It's got consistency written all over it. If Daniel was hit and miss with his prayer life, this decree could have worked or might not have worked. If Daniel was hit or miss with his devotional life to God, this could have worked or might not have worked. But it was because Daniel was consistent, because he had a life of integrity, because he made decisions that were godly, and that they could not find anything wrong with him. And they had to go after his God, the laws of his God. Here's what I want you to take home with you. Be consistent. Don't give up. Let's see what God brings in 2020 when we are consistent in him. Consistent. Always stopping for that split second to ask, what is it that you would want me to do in this situation, Lord? One of the ways that I would like to help you with that is a thing called, and we tried this once before, but this is different. This is the Navigator's discipleship tool, and it's called 555 Challenge. And here's what it is. It's 5 minutes a day. This is the first slide. 5 minutes a day. So it's not long, and here's what you do. The next slide, please. It's 5 days a week. So you only have to do it for 7 days. It's 5 days a week. This is going to be in place of our little devotional, because I think it hits on the very points that I was trying to hit on. And then number three is this, 5 ways to go deeper. And here's the ways that you can go deeper. I'm going to kind of list them off for you. It asks you to underline or highlight key words or phrases in the Bible. It asks you to take the scripture passage and put yourself in it and put your own words to it. It asks you to answer some questions. Some questions like what, when, where, why, how. It asks you, what's the big idea in this sentence or paragraph or chapter? And then it asks you to ask this question. And this is the key question to it all. Look, discipleship, connection groups, Bible studies, whatever you want to call them, are no good if this question isn't answered. And I've been, this isn't new to you. How could my life be different today as I respond to what I'm reading? Look, if you walk away from the scripture passage, if you study an entire scripture passage and you haven't asked, how do I apply this scripture passage to myself, then you are doing the very opposite of what discipleship has taught. Very opposite. You have not asked the right question. How do I actually live my life in a way that challenges myself to do what this scripture passage talks? And sometimes it hurts. Like, you know, earlier today we were in Sunday school class and one of the kids read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And the back half of Ephesians 4, 32 says these words. It says that you should forgive others as Christ has forgiven you. And I jokingly said, ouch, can we not read that today? But it makes me think. If he was willing to do this for me, then why am I holding grudges? See, if I just shove that scripture passage off to the side, now I can hold grudges. Now I can do what I want to do. I don't have to forgive because I've shoved the scripture passage off to the side. Oh, I know it. I just quoted it for you. I can win Jeopardy if they ask me what that is. But it makes no impact here. That's what discipleship is about. And so one of the things we're going to ask you to do is if you would like to consider doing this, you can let me know, you can let Chris know, and we'll make a copy of it for you. And it's basically just, it's the whole year done for you. You read through the scripture. The first day is Mark 1, and we've already missed the first day, but you can catch up. Mark 1, you read the entire chapter of Mark 1, and you ask those questions. And here's the best part of it. I said 5 ways to grow deeper. You only have to choose 2 of them. You don't have to do all 5. I would prefer that you do the last one, ask this question, how does this change my life? Then you choose one other one to do, whether it's underlining, it's asking questions like who, what, when, where, why, how, whatever it might be. Because that's what's going to make the impact in your life. That's what's going to allow you to remain consistent, even when outside pressures are bearing down on you. Bearing down on you. Look, I've learned a lot this past year, and I'm going to close with this thought. I've learned a lot these past couple of years because we now do have children. Before that, I was very like, you know, I don't understand families that can't do this and can't do that and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, now you add a basketball schedule and gymnastics schedule and a soccer schedule, and soon that's going to start up with basketball already running. And now I start to see, holy smokes, where do the days go? But that doesn't stop us from being consistent. And that's why in 2020, I want to focus on this time. Can we do something for our children and our youth here at Faith Church? Right here. We're already here. Do we have to have something other than that? Can we focus on that? Can some people who maybe have not stepped up in ministry, could they step up and help us do those things and promote it to the community and see what God might do if we're consistent, consistent, consistent? We don't just say, well, there's only one child here today, so we're done. No, we're consistent. That's for me too. Could it change our perspective if we do that? I present that to you as a prayer item. It's what I'm struggling with right now. It's what I wrestle with every day. Could we focus on this time where we are already here and make it all that it can be and see what the Lord might do if we're consistent in this area? It's a question that we need to ask ourselves as we go into 2020. And so I pray that you will ask that question. You will see where you can be more consistent. where you can be more consistent. In the Word, studying the Word, being a part of the body, being a part of what God is doing here at Faith Church. Consistency is the name of the game. And this is the word that we'll study next week as well. And then the week after that, we'll study one more word. And the week after that, we'll study another word. Asking the Lord to develop those words here at Faith Church. Let's close in a word of prayer together. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this time to look at Daniel's consistency. It's an eye-opener, Lord. It was for me. How consistent he was, even in the face of so many struggles. And Lord, we have struggles. We have very real struggles. Nothing that I said today was to downplay anything that anybody is facing. But it is to look hard and to see where we can be consistent, where we can honor you, where we can make impact for you. And we'll be careful to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise for what you do. For Lord, it's in your name we pray this all. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope it encouraged you in your walk with Christ. You can find out more about Faith Church at wearefaithec.com.